Gaura satcharitamritam ritanidhi Gaura sadaivastuve Gorena pratitam rahasya bhajanam Gaurasya vrityo bhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare today's class is entitled The Kirtan of Lord Gauranga. I believe it will be a very, let me say, I hope, I pray that it will be a discovery for some of you, a confirmation of for others, and for all of you, either younger devotees or older devotees, a very motivational insight into the main upaya or main means of attaining love of Godhead, which has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I would like to first of all go a little bit into the history of the Kirtan movement, just track it a little bit from from the beginning of Mahaprabhu's appearance. At another time, or you could look at the web pages and so on, I have done a little research which will be augmented and enhanced by Madhavananda, who also is thinking about this subject very deeply. I have done a little bit of research on kirtan throughout the ages, starting with the Alvas and going through the Maharashtrian saint Tukaram, Eknath, and others, and then going to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and proceeding through to Narottam Das Thakur and others. It's a very interesting subject, but for now I will restrict what I say on kirtan on the times of Mahaprabhu and his revelations, how kirtan should be done. But let me ask you a question. How was your chanting today? Did you feel a difference? Was it the same? Were you maybe exhausted from yesterday and therefore you could not concentrate so much on chanting? How, any feedback? Better, better, easier. Easy. Easier. Other comments? More strength was available to you when you chanted? Some of you do look exhausted, I must say, because it is for some of you a work into a going into a stretching zone. Do you know what is a stretching zone? It's when you make a movement you are not accustomed to. Like, for instance, this is for most karmis a stretching zone, not for you. You often do this. But if you now start to do this movement, oh, you will feel it here. And stretching zone means you do something, but I want to tell you what happens when you move into a stretching zone. Why, although you leave your comfort zone and go, stretching zone always is a zone outside of your comfort zone. When you do this, and after some, and you come back, you will all of a sudden notice, my God, I have a muscle here. I didn't know there was a muscle. After some time, this muscle will be strengthened and will serve you very much. So whenever you do a devotional practice, this is what I want to explain, like chanting more rounds, which is definitely leaving your comfort zone. I mean, definitely I saw yesterday devotees who were a little, the tongue was hanging on the ground, in other, we say in Germany, and the knees were wobbling, and some of you looked extremely serious, which was really that your mind gave you a little intense presence, you know. My dear devotees, this is maybe at first a little difficult, because stretching, I mean, you go like this. It is a little difficult because you have just left your comfort zone. But outside of your comfort zone, you will discover all your new treasures. If you want to make advancement, don't be satisfied and don't think what you do now is the perfection of your life. Go and do something specially for Krishna like you did yesterday. And you will see, maybe at this moment it hurts a little and you are a little exhausted and so on and so forth. But you will see, you will develop so much spiritual strength and it will become obvious to you, maybe not directly now because of the effort you have exerted yesterday, but later. I can confidentially tell you that for many devotees who are chanting 64 rounds a day, they always tell me that their life has been significantly changed. Significantly. You can't tell what it was before. So now you are only, your whole mental subtle body may be a little bit stretched and a little, and you may also see negatively, oh, I was just so absent-minded and distracted. But don't worry. It is 100% sure that something has been awakened in you which was sleeping before, and this will serve you in the years to come. Also, there is something which you may not notice immediately because no one can do it. It's the mercy of Giriraj, who has seen you doing your best. And really, although at this moment I can't move as freely as I would like, I did move around and watched you from behind the trees, and I could see really very amazing things. And in the evening a sign was there, which in Braj is at least seen as a sign. There was a white owl. Some of you who sat in the Gopinath gardens might have seen it, but these white owls are always coming, covering themselves with a blanket of darkness so that no one sees them. And this owl stayed with us for 20 minutes. I saw the owl looming on a branch, and a white owl always means that a great sadhu has come in this disguise. This is how they come, a white owl. This is what they say in Braj. And you know, white owls are very rare. And after some time, the owl just noticed that I was staring all the time on the owl, trying to get some further signs. So the owl just came and started flying one time. I only saw it went up and it went to the side, and then it came. Then I saw it on the other side. It means it circumambulated the place and then disappeared. Hare Krishna. This is there are some signs you can read about them in these. Yes. The white owl was there. You also saw the white owl. Yes, white owls. Hare. It's good. It says, thank you that you say it, because sometimes devotees think when I tell like this, I didn't see it, it was not there. So when there is a second person who saw, then and they are more convinced. Okay, let us, we have a subject to cover. I beg all of you, I have to go a little bit fast through this, so I need two things from you, your attention and your sympathy, because my English is in the beginning stages and you will have to hear through my thick German accent what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Good. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, everyone, including the Muslims, were chanting the holy name, thus foretelling his mission. There was a total moon eclipse, and everyone in Navadvip, although it was not the usual practice at that time to chant the holy name in unison, came out. And because it was so extraordinary loud, everyone was on the street chanting. The Muslims couldn't sleep, and they were woken up, and they also, you know, they ran out of their houses imitating their Hindu neighbors. And in this way, everyone, including the mosquitoes, I dare to say, were chanting, foretelling Mahaprabhu's mission. However, as the little boy who was given the name Nimai grew up, he apparently, outside, externally, seemed to not develop into the God-intoxicated saint, which some of the people saw him like that. He's much more, but he was seen in Navadvip in the beginning like that. No, in the beginning, Mahaprabhu learned all the shastras, all the scriptures, and he became the best in them. And he became not only the best; he became the super best in the way of arguing. He was, as a young lad, crowned the undisputed scholar. Because he had defeated in a wrestling match of words, you can say, or a scholarly debate, the great Digvijay, or world conqueror in logical arguments in scriptural knowledge, the Kashmiri Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri. So, why Mahaprabhu did this, there are many explanations by different Vaishnavas. The one I am aware of is he wanted to show eventually that he was also able to debate and defeat and so on, and engage in the main practice of the times, that is jnana, but he chose to go the way of bhakti because bhakti is higher than jnana. Some say like this. There may be other reasons, and it may be a subject of itself, but we have little time. We make a marathon run through Mahaprabhu's earlier leelas. Mahaprabhu eventually met Ishwarapuri and later took initiation from him in Gaya. When Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, initiated in the Gopal mantra, which consists of the names of Lord Hari, three names of Hari, which I cannot tell you. You will hear them from your guru at the proper time. When Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, he was a transformed person. He had received the holy names. He was no longer able or interested in academic or scholarly study of logics and the scriptures. The best way to describe it is in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who tells us of a discussion between someone, a friend of Gadadhar, and Gadadhar. So the friend says to Gadadhar, "Oh Gadadhar." Yeah, it's nice that you introduce it, but I was thinking to just say it alone, but it's nice that you want to chant it. Yes. I'm pointing out to our highly sensitive Gaurahari, who at this moment is expected to make some sounds. Yes. Okay, so here's the verse for you. O Gadadha, I saw the most extraordinary person coming on the road from Gaya. I was surprised and attracted. His form was so very handsome. And he roared just like a thunderclap. Energy. His eyes rained tears as if they had become a rain cloud. And he rolled about on the ground. His voice was choked up in the ecstasy of love of God. O Gadadhar, all glories to that Lord, the son of Shochi Devi. Gauranga Mahaprabhu later commented about this extraordinary transformation. Previously he was really, you know, if you would meet Nimai Pandit, that was the name of this young Pandit, and you happened to be a scholar, he would make you cry and run away by showing that all your knowledge is meaningless before the Mount Everest of his knowledge of the scriptures. You know, he would quarrel with you and show that you are a fool. Pandits were both attracted but totally afraid to meet him because he would always engage in intellectual wrangling with them. Gauranga Mahaprabhu went back to Ishwarapuri and he expressed his own amazement with this transformation, that he had become laughing, running, chanting, "Oh Krishna, Ha Krishna, oh son of Nanda Maharaj." He said to his Guru Maharaj, "What mantra have you given me? This has made me mad." But Ishwarapuri only smiled and said, "Good madness." He said, "My son, you have developed the highest treasure. It's love which makes you appear to be mad. You have developed love of God." So as Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath to Navadvipa, he openly displayed now the mission he had come for. He was ready to reveal his mission. This became very evident when he started to go back to his previous, Wirkungsort, we say. Wirkungsort means his field of activity, his school. He was leading a school, although he was still young. He was the most famous Pandit under whom everyone wanted to study. So there is a little interesting detail in Sanskrit schools of that time. When the students open their books to start the day of study, they will chant, "Hari Hari, Yes, this is very good. But so there was a like a whole school. I think we should start this maybe in Gurukul. There would be a nice practice. Hari Hari, they would say Hari Hari. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard the holy names of Hari, and he became, he almost couldn't control himself. The first time it happened, he just started to explain everything which he said in relationship to Krishna. For instance, he said the verbal roots, you know, each noun has a verbal root, the dhatu it's called. Let me not try to be a Sanskrit scholar. Dhatu, it's correct. Verbal root. He explained it in relationship to Krishna, and he gave explanations like this. You have to in your mother's womb, my students, you saw Krishna, who is indicated by this particular word, and you promised to him you would serve him. Why don't you serve the Lord of your heart? You know, this was a very devotional explanation. It was not what the students were accustomed to, you know. It was preaching to them. And then Mahaprabhu at the end looked with love-drunken eyes to his students. How was my explanation today? And the students said, respectfully, they respected their teacher, you know, very good, but we couldn't understand anything. So Mahaprabhu then said, let's stop our education for now. Let's take a bath in the Ganga. Why not? The students went with their teacher to the Ganga. But on the way, they saw a Brahmana. His name is Ratnagarbha. We know his name. Who was chanting the best verse, one of the best verses of the Bhagavatam. It describes the gopis' meditation when they see Krishna going to the forest of Vrindavan and disappearing in the lush foliage of Braj trees. And the verse goes like this: Bahapitam natavaravapu kanayo kanikaram. Bibat vasa kanaka kapisham vaija jantim chamalam. Rantran vino adara sudaya purayan gopa brinde. Brindaranyam svabadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanikara flowers, it is actually singular, a blue kanikara flower on his ear, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland. Lord Krishna, you know, with his peacock feather head dress, flower over his ear, the yellow garment glistening. Lord Krishna danced and danced as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. He beautified that forest with the marks of his footprints. And he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar coming from his lips. And the cowherd boys all around him sang his glories. Kirta, Kirti, Kirti. I don't know. Kirti is, you know, it points towards the word kirtan. You know, these cowherd boys did kirtan of Lord Hari's glories. So when Mahaprabhu heard this verse, he exploded in transcendental ecstasy. One Vaishnava has said, like a volcano, a golden volcano, the lava comes out, you know, of it. The ecstasy of his heart came out, and 100 people were not able to hold him. He went, ecstatic symptoms swarmed like ants all over his body. and he could not behold, and it seemed to the onlookers that now two Gangas were flowing. But was the Ganga in her riverbed, you know, with her high waves as she witnessed the ecstasy of her Lord, and the other were the Ganges river of tears, which came from the eyes of Lord Gauranga, who also perspired profusely. Mahaprabhu from that day on did not go back to give mundane education. Finally, he told his students, "For so long you have studied and listened from me. Now finish your education. Glorify Krishna. Do Krishna Kirtan." So the disciples, so he first said to them, "If you want, you have to take another teacher. I can't talk about these subjects any longer." But the disciples did not want to leave him. They asked, "What sort of glorifying or kirtan do you mean?" And then the son of Sachi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told them the kirtan he had in mind. Hadaye nama Krishna Yadavaya namaha. Hadaye nama Krishna Yadavaya namaha. Yadavaya namaravaya Keshavaya namaha. Hari Haraya namah Krishna Yadavaya namah Hari. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Then Mahaprabhu got up, raised his hands, his students surrounded him, and then the Lord of Kirtan himself led the Kirtan, and all his students joined him singing loudly, Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Hari. Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Hari. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. This is how this mantra appears in Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 17, text 122. Later, this kirtan was expanded a little, and Prabhupada now writes about this. He wants to now educate all of us into the kirtan art. He says, "We are already accustomed," he says to his young members of his young fledging movement, "we are already accustomed to chant these two mantras. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Go Bhaktavinda. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So he says, we are accustomed to this. Now, after these, the other two lines, namely, Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan, should be added. Must be added, huh? For kirtan, especially in Mayapur. Chanting of these six lines, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and so on, Hare Krishna, and so on, and Hari Haraye Nama, and so on. These are six lines. This descending of these six lines should go on so perfectly well that no one hears any vibration other than the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That will make the center spiritually all perfect. Nothing else. Kirtan all around the clock. I must laugh. There is one song of Elvis Presley, Rock Around the Clock, I think. When I was young, we had this record. I was 12 years old, I remember, and my father had this record, and I would, when my parents were gone, I would put it on the record player, and I would rock around the clock. Because we were forbidden to hear this music in our house, because my father said it is unethical and unmoral to hear this. But he was a lover of all types of culture, so he kept it in his collection, and then I rocked her. But Kirtan is better. Mm-hmm. Kirtan around the clock, that's the idea. The people at first were not able to understand Lord Chaitanya. They thought he had gone mad. So maybe some of you are also new to the idea of ecstatic kirtan, and therefore I would like to now say, what is behind this kirtan? Why is kirtan so much stressed? Why is it even the main thing to do in Kali Yuga, according to the Bhagavatam, our main Pramana? Well, kirtan is a path where you can enter the presence of the Lord and then fall in love if you do it properly. When you enter the presence of the Lord, then you can fall in love. Mahaprabhu used to say that from the chanting of the holy name, love of God would come. Mm-mm. Now, the word kirtan has a Sanskrit root which means kirt, and it means praise. Now, Jiva Goswami asked the question, who should be praised and for what should he be praised? And he answers the question, the one who possesses beauty, courage, knowledge, and is capable of the supermost form of action. So kirtan, my dear devotees, means really to praise. And therefore there are many there are kirtans, there's Naam Kirtan. There's Naam Kirtan. But there is also the form kirtan, where you sing about the beauty of Krishna. You know, if you praise someone, I don't know if you sometimes do this, you say, you look very, like the devotees sometimes say to me, you look very healthy. They say this maybe because I'm not known to be the most healthy individual. But they want to say something nice, you know. Or you will say something about how you look so energetic. We are careful to say only a male lover will say to his female beloved, "You look so beautiful today." But usually we are in Kali Yuga so bodily conscious that when we don't dare to say these things any longer. But to Krishna, we should say, "You look beautiful. Your chest is glistening. Your lotus eyes, and your smile, your smile is so beautiful, my Lord. your rosy lips, or bimba fruit-like lips, are reflected on your jasmine white-like teeth. There are songs like this about Krishna's beauty, his qualities, how you are so compassionate. Usually the songs like Dina Dayal Prabhu Dina Dayal. Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal. Your quality is you are Deen, you are Dayal, merciful to the Deens. The Deens means not the rectors of the schools. Deens means us, the fallen ones, you know. So, and there is pastimes, you know, your pastimes. There are songs about Krishna's pastimes. Now, Gauranga Mahaprabhu held, and this is very important that you understand this, that in the Naam Kirtan, all other types of kirtans are encapsulated, and it is the most powerful kirtan. Let us investigate the first statement, all other kirtans are encapsulated. For instance, the name Dina Dayal means the merciful to the fallen. That is a quality in Krishna, compassion. Then that name, the devotee, while he thinks, Dina Dayal Prabhu, oh Dina Dayal, oh you are Pranata Karuna, the merciful to the Pranatas, to me, the fallen one. I have a relationship. I'm most fallen. The devotee says, Lord, this name is yours. Now prove it, prove it. I'm here. You can make a good example story with me. You know, the devotee thinks like this to his Lord in restlessness of the heart, being moved in the heart. So also the form kirtan, you know, rupa kirtan, when we say Shyam Sunda, we say the beautiful Shyam Sunda, or the pastimes kirtan. Navanita Chora, for instance, you are the Chora, means the thief who is like a new cloud, you steal butter. So in the name kirtan, Naam kirtan, which is the main process of Mahaprabhu, all the other kirtans assemble and are present. There's so much to say about this subject matter, but we have to move on. So Krishna is to be praised because he possesses all beauty, all courage, all knowledge, and is capable of the supermost form of action. Now, how do you do the praise? What is Gauranga's kirtan? This is a question. Well, you should glorify the Lord by chanting his name, and you should take instruments in your hands. Therefore, if you want to do kirtan, please learn instruments. It is so much on my mind to note that the Hare Krishna movement doesn't know to play karatals even. It's a certain, they only know one speed. You know, you need to know. It's two. What is it? Oh, in Deutsch. You know, two. Boom, 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 boom. The long is, the last is long. And midanga, it should be learned. There should be schools for these things. Singing, you should sing melodiously, not passionately. And devotionally. And you must take your arms in the sky. That is Gauranga Kirtan. He told like this. Why do we do this? Well, just like a child who wants to be picked up by the parents, raises the hand in the sky. Therefore, as you do Kirtan, you should raise the hands in the sky to be picked up. It's a request. Take me, take me. Or in Prabhupada's word, please accept me. Have you ever seen these little children? They go, I don't know exactly how they go. I have to study this a little bit more. But somehow they raise, and then the mother knows, okay, quick, do it, otherwise there's a problem in the child, he will cry, you know. So zhup, he takes the mother takes the child, or the father takes the child. This little child is here, the little Gopal. We call him Gopal, but it's a she, I understand. It's the son of Matsyavata and his wife. Not Matsyavata, Matsya Prabhu is his name. And the child, even I saw him the other day, there was our old Brijbasi caretaker who is there, you know, with these super avant-gardistic glasses, you know. He sits at the entrance of the Gopinath garden with a stick, and the little child came to the event, and he went, "Acha, acha," and the old man takes him and looks at the child and starts to cry tears of affection for the child and the child and so on. And this is why we stretch our arms. Be a child before the Lord. Huh? Dancing must be there. Somehow dancing. Dance elegantly according to your means, you know, and then lose yourself in the dance. Lose yourself to find yourself. Very important. Lose your wrong self, your egoistic self, to find your true self. A childlike, happy person of eternity, huh? The eternal soul. And in the kirtan at the end, obeisances, very important. We had a kirtan in Govindakund, and the devotees would never pay obeisances. But for kirtan, we must pay obeisance. It's very important. Because by all this, the Lord is becoming attracted. Kirtan acts like a magnifying glass, which brings the Lord into the presence. Because it is said in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Sankirtan of Krishna's names is praised as the best process and the most powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prema. Why? Because it is like a potent mantra that can attract precious objects from a distance. Now this is something which we don't know in our culture, but there are potent mantras which can bring very difficult objects into the presence. I know it from the tantric school. Don't worry, I'm not expert in this. But there are mantras. There was one of my good devotee friends, Shitakara Prabhu, also a disciple of Prabhupada, told me that he personally saw one man sitting in his house and chanting a mantra, and all of a sudden a huge crocodile from here to the wall appeared in the house, and the man sat on the crocodile to perform his other unpleasant tantric rituals, you know. So there are mantras which bring far distant things there, you know. There are all different types of mantras. I must say, I only know unpleasant things, charms and so. I don't know them, but know of them. But they are potent mantras, and this is known in the culture in India. This example is very much known. You say the mantra and jum, it comes. I know that some of our devotees say mantras so that the voice comes, and they have beautiful voices. One of the members of our Nityananda band did this, and we had, you know, 10,000 people per evening, because he was known of having such a voice, and he said it comes from this mantra. So distant things come. We don't want this thing, but this is why the kirtan brings the most precious, I don't want to say now object, the most precious personality from a far distant place, and he is present in the kirtan. Krishna has personally answered a question to this effect, the question of Narada Muni. Narada Muni asked Krishna, "Krishna, what is your address?" He was thinking of a permanent address. Where can you always be found? Because Narada Muni knows that Krishna sometimes does leave the Vaikuntha world to go and appear to save a devotee like Gajendra. We heard this yesterday from Bhurijam Prabhu, this Leela. But where are you permanently present? I'm sometimes joke, you know, in the modern times, if someone would ask such a question, maybe to Braj Bihari, "Braj Bihari, where's your permanent address?" He would say, email, my email account. I always, everything reaches me on the email. So, but Krishna explained it differently. You all know this verse. He said, he said first where he is not present. I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not even in the hearts of the meditating yogis. But mad bhakta yatra gayatri tatra tishtami Narada. Oh Narada, I am where my devotees chant my holy names. So the Lord is attracted. We may feel sometimes distance from our Lord, but the Lord becomes attracted by kirtan. That's what he personally says in the scriptures. It is from the Kati Mahatma of the Padma Purana, quoted in the Bhakti Sandhava Anucheta 269. You know, in other words, it's there. This is the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. It brings you into the presence of the Lord. This brings me to a point which I want to stress very much. Mahaprabhu educated his devotees. This works, but, now comes the but, the Lord will come, but He will be there, but don't worry, it really works, but you must avoid offenses, aparadas. This is in the teachings of Mahaprabhu to do kirtan very much. The 10 offenses are well known amongst the followers of Srila Prabhupada. They are often recited because you can't invite the Lord and do by your chanting and then do aparad. Aparad means that which causes dissatisfaction. You send him away. You know, you have a guest. Imagine a guest. You invite a guest and then you do something which totally dissatisfies him. Like maybe you take your fire lighter and you light your curtains or do something, and then he runs out of the house, or you give him something to eat. You know, you invite him, come, don't eat before here, and then you give him something, you give him the best of preparation, and as he bites into the best of preparations, which you have said like this, it tastes so absolutely horrible that he just screams in terror. Ah! Oh, and his tooth has fallen out because there was a stone inside which you placed there. And there is a hot red chili pepper inside. And you know his digestive tract is fragile, you know, and you have put it inside. And you cause dissatisfaction. The person will leave again. So you can't call Krishna and then cause him dissatisfaction. And you know what is the worstest? When you are not there. You call him and you are not there. You are inattentive, or as we say in English, absent-minded. Yeah? You're absent. It happened once to one of our preachers. He was invited by someone in Yugoslavia. And then he came all the way. He had to overcome the obstacle of the border. Now it's easy. But he had to overcome the obstacle of the border, and he came to Rijeka, and he came to the address. He had traveled from central Germany. It took him, I don't know, a day or so travel, and he had come and he had arrived, and then he finds a note: "I'm not here. I'm at the coast, bathing." And he didn't come for some time. Then, you know, our poor preacher thought, well, he's called me and then he's absent. Then I have come all this way. Oh, this is very bad. And he just turned her away. This person eventually became a devotee, but it took him 10 years to become a devotee after this, because he had made really something which caused dissatisfaction. So, chanting Krishna's name, you must avoid the 10 offenses, starting with absent-mindedness. You must be concentrated. But then, what is the inner mood? This is something I work on, the offenses. But what is the inner mood? Two things you have to learn to do to join Gauranga's Kirtan, my dear devotees. First, rule, please say it with me, you know it, it's in almost every lecture which we hear in our movement. Trinadapi sunichena taro api sahishnuna amananda manadena kirtaniya sadari. Kirtan, niya sada means always, hurry. If you want to do always the kirtan of the holy name, then you must think yourself to be lower than the grass. You must become more tolerant than a tree and not expect personal honor, yet always be prepared to give respects to others. Then the holy name will easily come on your tongue and you will always be able to do kirtan. You will sing. Even in the night you will sing. You will see. That's very important. Second rule of Mahaprabhu, very important rule, and this is a rule which I believe this Naam retreat introduces us, this holy name retreat introduces us. Many of the classes seem to have an emphasis on this, and Bhujan Prabhu and myself, who are so fortunate to be able to serve you by giving you informations, we meet and we always wonder that we both, from different perspectives, seem to emphasize same or similar points. Huh? And here is this: you must chant with a feeling of total longing for Krishna, to long to come in contact. And yesterday I had such a wonderful time. I saw a devotee. I asked the devotee, "How is it going for you?" And the devotee looked at me and had such a beautiful expression in the eyes. And the devotee said, "Maharaj, I'm trying to chant with some feelings. Some feelings. Not this dry chanting as if you chew on sand from the Sahara." You know, Sahara is a desert in Africa. So, no. Longing, that's a feeling. Longing means I have not yet attained, but I wish to attain. Here is the verse which some of you know. Nayanam galadashrudaraya vadanam gatgada rudaya gira pulakai nichitam vapukada tavanama grahane bhavishyati. These are Mahaprabhu's own words. Trinadapi, chant humbly. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction to the devotees. Now, second instruction, very important. How to do it, the manual, how to do kirtan. My dear Lord, when will the time come when my eyes will be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Later, Sanatana Goswami gave an analogy which you have heard yesterday, the analogy from the kingdom of the birds, the Chataki and the Chakravaki birds, who all express longing for nourishment and longing for love. Huh? That is what they express. When will I chant like this, you know? This is what nourishes us. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. When we chant it with a feeling, huh? That nourishes us. Very much it nourishes us. And also when we chant with some feeling of longing, I have not obtained, I have not obtained, I want to obtain. Then this will be very good. Srila Prabhupada talked about this mood, which should be there in the Kirtan of Mahaprabhu, in a lecture to the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, 6th canto, 1st chapter, text 39. He said, and this is so beautiful, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then crying, just like madmen. This is Krishna consciousness. Should I repeat for you? You please also say, where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
Where is Krishna?
Yeah, very nice how you say. These three words. You should remember these three words. Where is Krishna? This is how you will enter the mood. You have not obtained Krishna. You are looking for Krishna. You are looking with a feeling of longing, not a feeling of duty. Oh, I have lost this, and what will others say if I don't find my wristwatch? You know, no, with a feeling of longing, like you call for a person, not like you call for an object. Object is often dutiful, but this is loving. Where is Krishna? My God, where is Krishna? And crying, just like madmen. Crying comes when the longing reaches a point of intensity. That is a little bit. Wait until that comes. Don't imitate. No? Don't just smear pepper on your eyes and then the longing comes, or tiger balm or any other thing. You know, it will come. Crying comes when the longing reaches to a certain temperature. This temperature will be in the heart, the temperature of longing, and that will then melt the heart, and then as a result of this melt, the ice will melt, and then the tears come out. It is happening naturally in a spiritual biological way, you know, spiritual. You know, the heart needs to be moved with the feelings, strong feelings, and then it comes out of the eyes. Huh? We know this in this world. Yesterday I talked to this wonderful devotee who expressed to me, oh, I feel so grateful to Srila Prabhupada and the path he has shown us. I just feel so grateful. And as he said it, all of a sudden, you can see it was churning his heart. He stopped, and then tears came out. And he was a man, and men are always a little shy to cry before others. I'm also like this. So, but I said to him, "Cry more. There's nothing. Cry more. You know, very important. This is how, when the heart is churned, then this is very good." Then this comes in the eyes. It is natural. It is not unnatural. When the longing becomes a little bit more and the temperature in the heart rises, it churns and then it goes. (Clears throat) Mahaprabhu would instruct his devotees, 5 to 10 of you, sit outside your house and chant. And they said, what should we chant? He said, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopa Govinda Ram Shimadu Sudar Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopa Govinda Ram Shimadu Sudar. Good. This you should chant. But Mahaprabhu has chanted many, many names of Krishna. It's important for me to tell you this. Kirtan has many names. For instance, he would chant, Hari O Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari O Rama Rama, Hari Hari, O Rama Rama, Hari Hari, O Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Jai Krishna Mukunda, Murali Vanamali, Hari Bol Mukunda, Gopala Vanamali, Rama Krishna, Jai Dwani Govinda Gopal, Jai Dwani Govinda Gopal. These are taken from Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are songs just praising the names of the Lord, many names the Lord has. So this type of chanting with humility, free from, let me start in an easy way. Here comes your formula hungry Vaishnavs. This is how to do the kirtan of Gauranga. Write down, avoid offenses, chant in a humble form, humble way of mind, humble frame of mind. Second, and third, chant with longing. Very important, longing. Then only, you know, if this will turn the switch in your consciousness, that longing. I want so much. I want this. I long. This is necessary for my life. Yes. And then, then this chanting like of the holy name will very quickly infuse the heart with bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti is a little high. Let us say with bhava, with bhav, in that contemporary usage of the word, means with some genuine feelings for Krishna. An example of this would be Narada Muni. You know, after he had darshan of the Lord encouraged him to become more mature now by chanting the holy name. And Narada Muni followed suit and says in the Bhagavatam, you can find this in the first canto, sixth chapter, text 26, his own autobiographical report, how he responded to the Lord's instruction. He should do now kirtan to find the Lord really permanently. He says, thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation. That's kirtan, you know, you chant the holy name. He also did guna kirtan, and repeatedly he did this kirtan, and he ignored all the formalities of the material world. He ignored all the formalities of the material world. You don't, you know, it's all right if you become a little bit moved. Allow yourself to become a little bit ecstatic and extraordinary, you know. So then he says what describes to. Then he describes further. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, Acha, he apparently does also Lila Kirtan, and he remembers the pastimes of the Lord, are benedictory. I did this and I traveled all over the earth and I was so satisfied and I was humble and unenvious. You know, he is humble and unenvious, therefore he can always chant. You know, we heard this. He did this. So he is really a role model also. And maybe if there is time, I forgot the schedule yesterday, and we should hear about Narada Muni's example, how he did kirtan. There is kirtan you can do alone. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did kirtan to the four walls. You can take your pair of kartals. My tip to you is learn to play kartals. That's also the only instrument which I'm still a beginner, but someone know to play. And then sing. Spend your time singing. When you are in the car, sing. When you are in your room, sing. It will give you some feeling. When you get dry, sing and take some songbook with the names. Good kirtan is Yashomati Nandanara, Brajabara Nagaran, all names. Or like we chant in Vrindavan, this very nice song. Vibhavari Shesha Lola Pravesha Nidachari Utajiva. Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Haya Griva Ginganva Amana Simadu Sudana Vandana Nana Syama Nindagatana Koitaba Shatana Nayana Sharati Rama. These are all names of Krishna. This is very first class kirtan. Very first class. And then think about these names as you chant them, and you will feel, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. Oh, Krishna this and Krishna that. And Manat Sachora. What? Manasi Chandra Chakora. You are the moon of the mind. Mind and moon is one thing, you know. Now there's no moon, that means the mind doesn't work so well. When the moon goes, you will see, I can chant all, when it's high, I can chant so many mantras by heart. It's related. It's a weak moon now. It's very difficult for moon people to exist in this time. But, yes, and then, oh, Krishna, you are the chakora, the bird who drinks moon rays. Help me to control my mind. You will, chitta hari, you steal my consciousness, chitta. Hari is a thief, you know. There are so many good names. And then you can feel as you chant the maha mantra, main mantra. You can feel, actually, with the help of this other kirtan, sometimes you can feel how the names reveal their meaning to you, and you will feel happy in Krishna consciousness. This is the sign. We have reached the end of this class. Thank you very much for this most beautiful, melodious sign. Yes, I want to just bring this one quotation. You know, when it's like this, we preachers are like merchants. We have merchandise in the form of verses or our own realizations or what Prabhupada said, and we just want to give it, you know, for free to everyone. Jiva Goswami, you know, we individual kirtan, you do it alone, it's very good. And you will see, especially in Braj, yesterday a wonderful devotee told me that this devotee just took a pair of kartals and sat before a deity somewhere in Braj and chanted. All of a sudden, miracles started to happened. The altar rooms were opening. The deities showed them. The pujari took down all this winter cloth, you know, blankets, showed the devotees the exquisite form of the deities. The other devotees, old people, came and sat next to the devotees, joining in with the kirtan. Kirtan is very important. Don't be shy. You may feel a little self-conscious. Oh, I'm here alone. And oh, what will people think? People will glorify you. Don't go after that, you know. But there is a kirtan which is superior to individual kirtan. And Jiva Goswami describes it. Bahubhir Milidva Kirtanam Sankirtanam, he says. When many people gather together and sing the glories of the Lord, it is called Sankirtan, or congregational singing. This congregational singing is superior even to Kirtan, which is performed alone. Because, now, know why. Because it produces extraordinary feelings. We need some feeling for Krishna. Where is Krishna? And these feelings can happen in Sankirtanam. Therefore, many of us feel that we want to serve very much the Sankirtan movement. My own service, I find myself magically drawn in this direction, to serve the Sankirtan devotee movement with good research. I mean, I'm trying to induce other scholars to help me because they are more intelligent for research. And then we want to create really an understanding is kirtan. And a very important point, how to do kirtan. Be aware and careful of one thing. I give you now a warning. That is passionate kirtans, not done for the satisfaction of Krishna, where no thinking of Krishna is, which is just without any mindfulness of Krishna, absent-mindedness. That is very discouraging, very discouraging. We should do this kirtan properly, and three things are only required. For this, avoid offenses in your life, chant in a humble frame of mind, and somehow try to enter a longing. I do it simply by following this thing. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? These three words is enough. Where is Krishna? Where is Radha Krishna? You can add also. No? This is a summary. Take this home, my dear devotees. In your life, avoid offenses so that you are fit to chant properly and Krishna becomes attracted to your chanting. Enter this practice, Trinada Pisunichina. The best is you start with tolerance, no, of other people. That's how you come very easily to the place of humility. And then think about yourself as, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This feeling should be there. Then, Hogya. Hogya means done. You will enter the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and become happy. So, Hare Krishna. Again, we are in the situation, I really need to stop in time. I will not be able to take questions, but, my dear devotees, this afternoon session, Burijan Prabhu and myself will answer all questions. Here is your question basket where you can write your questions down. It's already good questions. There are already like five questions or so. It's already filling, but five questions are not enough to fill a question and answer session. Please think of a genuine question which is interesting for others also. Thank you very much, and may we all join the kirtan of Gauranga and be blessed one day with the highest treasure, Krishna Prema. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.